His lack of curiosity as to what I was looking for has only heightened my suspicions. He would never usually accept such a vague answer to one of his questions. "What did you tell Patrick?" I ask as he lifts me onto the vanity unit.
"I told him that you passed out on Saturday and put your back out."
Good thinking. "Did he not think it strange that you called him?"
"I don't know. I don't really care."
He starts drawing a bath and comes back over to me.
"Look what you've done to your beautiful body,"
he says quietly, gazing over my shoulder to my bare back in the reflection of the mirror.
"I won't be taking you on your back for a while."
A wave of disappointment travels through me as I glance over my shoulder. "Is that it?" I blurt incredulously. I feel like I've been skinned alive, and all I've got to show for my torture are a few long red welts and one with a sliver of dried blood.
"What do you mean, is that it?"
I drag my eyes away from my pitiful wounds on a scowl and look at Jesse, who is displaying a similar expression to mine, but fiercer. I grab his hips. "Turn around," I order as I push him to guide his reluctant lean body away from me. His back comes into view and I gasp. He has double the amount of lash marks, more blood, and generally more to show for the shitty day we had yesterday. "See, yours are better than mine." He flies back around and pins me with an incensed stare, grabbing the tops of my arms, shaking me slightly.
"Shut up, Ava."
"Sorry? Why am I talking such rubbish? It just hurts so much. I thought it would look a lot worse than that."
"It's fucking bad enough."
He drops me and returns to the bath, pouring in some lavender oil and swishing the water with his hand. I cock my head to the side and admire his firm nakedness as I swing my legs and roll my shoulders in an attempt to work some flex back into them. I need to relax. I can feel my muscles knotting across my shoulders. I sit patiently on the vanity unit while Jesse goes about getting towels and collecting up the mess I've made. He does it all in complete silence, not looking at me once. He knows what I've been looking for.
"Off."
He offers his hand and an expectant face, but I decline and slide off the unit with care, removing my knickers and taking myself to the bath. I step in and gingerly lower myself into the stinging water. Jesse climbs in and sinks down behind me, without so much as a huff of discomfort as the water coats his back. He clasps his hands over my shoulders and gently tugs, easing me back against him.
"Don't fight me."
He bites my ear and I squirm. His legs bend up and he wraps his arms around my neck, so I'm completely swathed in him.
"Right then. Now for the tub talk."
I rest my head against his shoulder and relish his morning stubble grazing the side of my face. "So Steve is out on his ass?"
"Gone."
"No questions asked?"
"Not one. Except whether he would prefer burial or cremation."
His answer, although brutal and a tad over the top, is just the response I was hoping for.
"Am I hurting you?"
"No, I'm fine," I assure him. "So, does the same apply to Sarah?" Boom! He pauses mid-nuzzle, and I continue my slow, feathery circles of his thighs with my index fingers, like I haven't just asked what I know will be a sensitive question. Steve had no sexual interest in me, not long-term anyway, but Sarah clearly has. And as my thick-skinned man seems oblivious to her romantic pursuit, it's down to me to instigate damage control.
"What has Sarah got to do with this?"
"She hurt you."
"I asked her to."
"I asked Steve to," I counter calmly.
"Yes, but Steve knew you were off limits, that you are mine. He crossed a line that I drew, and not just with who he practiced his shit on, but also how he carried it out. Although the former is my ultimate bone of contention. He bites my earlobe to make sure I know he means me. Who else? He accepted a whip from someone he hadn't met before, and never even clarified the limits. He could have been mentally unstable for all he knew. I probably was at that specific moment, I mutter. And anyway, you're mine. You're off limits too, you know. I know, he says softly. I know, baby. Never again. But I think you've demonstrated your grievance with Sarah, he adds sarcastically. I smile smugly. Yes, I have, but I still want her out on her ass. So you're not getting rid of her? She's an employee and a close friend. I can't sack her for doing something I asked her to, Ava. I sigh heavily, blatantly wanting him to be aware that I'm not happy about this. A friend? A close friend? She planned it, Jesse. What do you mean, she planned it? The text I got from John. What text? The one she sent from John's phone saying I should go to the manor. You think Sarah lifted John's phone and sent you a text? Yes! Don't be daft. I'm not being daft, I screech. I have it on my phone. I'll show you. Ava, Sarah wouldn't do that. Oh, please. She's supposed to be a friend, but he obviously doesn't know her very well. I had the pleasure of her company for only a few seconds before I worked her out. Do you think I imagined it? No. I'm thinking that you were drugged on Saturday night and maybe you've made a mistake. I'll show you. I sound like a stroppy teenager. She wants you. Well, she can't have me. She knows that. I belong to you. He presses his lips to the side of my face. You do. I push my cheek onto his lips, thinking how difficult this is. Jesse is right. He can't dismiss her from his employment for doing something that he asked her to do. Which stinks, because I can't imagine Jesse would be of the same opinion if the boot was on the other foot. My only comfort is the knowledge that Jesse has absolutely no interest in her. And of that I am completely sure. Lean forward so I can bathe your back. He encourages me to sit up. I'll be gentle. I like you rough, I whisper cheekily. Ava, don't say things like that when I'm in no position to violate you. I smile as he takes his time bathing me, sweeping the sponge gently over my back, dropping kisses whenever and wherever he can. My hair is washed, and I'm wrapped in a towel and carried to the bedroom where he lays me gently on the bed. This might be a bit cold. He straddles my bum and squeezes some cream onto my back. My shoulder blades fly up and tense. Shh, he hushes me. You won't be doing this again, will you? I will if you do, I grumble, burying my face in the pillow, sending a small prayer to God that he won't. He starts small tender strokes across my back, getting me used to the friction, before working the cream into the welts once I've relaxed a bit more. The warm fluidity of his big hands gliding all over my back soon becomes hypnotizing, and I'm more than aware of something hard and moist probing at my lower back. I smile to myself. He will never keep his hands off me for long, and I hope he doesn't. But he'll be wearing a condom. I massaged until all of the tightness has been rubbed away, and my back feels something close to normalcy. Hello? Both of our heads snap up at the sound of Kathy's voice drifting into the room. Shit. Jesse curses, jumping up from my body. I forgot to call Kathy. He disappears into the wardrobe and reappears in some jeans and a pale blue t-shirt. Up you get. He grasps my waist and pulls me from the mattress. I need to feed you.
I'm not hungry. You'll eat. It's that tone. Your stomach must be completely empty after you emptied it all over my office floor. I cringe. Sorry. Don't be. Get some clothes on. I'll meet you in the kitchen. He kisses me chastely and leaves me to sort myself out. Good morning, Ava. Kathy smiles kindly as she looks up from loading the dishwasher. Wearing my old soft ripped jeans and a white oversized t-shirt that doesn't grip my back too much, I lift myself up on the stool next to Jesse as he leans over to inhale my freshly washed hair. Hi, Kathy. How are you? I beat him away, and he growls at me before wiping a blob of peanut butter across my bottom lip. My tongue automatically sets about clearing it away. Oh, God! I screw my face up in distaste, and he laughs before pulling me closer and licking it away from me. Yum! He smiles and plants a wet peanut butter-flavored kiss on my lips. I wipe my mouth and return my attention to Kathy, finding her regarding our little exchange with a small smile on her thin lips. I blush profusely. I'm very well, Ava. Would you like some breakfast? Salmon? Oh, yes, please, I say gratefully, and she nods her head, wipes her hands on her crisp white apron, and heads for the fridge. I glance around the kitchen and see all of my mess has been cleared up. We have some news, Kathy, Jesse chirps up. We do? I turn a frown on him, but he ignores me. Ava will soon be Mrs. Ward. My mouth falls open, but he still ignores me. I'd forgotten about that. What with everything else we've dealt with over the past couple of days. How could I? Oh, how wonderful! Kathy places the eggs and salmon on the island and makes her way around to clench me into a tight squeeze. Oh, I'm so happy, she sings in my ear. I clench my teeth as she makes a meal of rubbing my back while I'm still sitting on the stool. She pulls back and wraps her palms around my face. I can't tell you how happy that makes me. He's a good boy. She lands a sloppy kiss on my cheek and releases me. Come here, you. She takes Jesse in an equally enthusiastic hug, and he accepts willingly, with no flinch or hiss of pain, while he watches me over Kathy's shoulder gaping at him. After the events of last night, I had, quite mistakenly it would seem, assumed that matter was up for review. My ring has disappeared from my finger, and when he asked me if I would still marry him, I had said I couldn't. Don't we need to figure out the boatload of shit that has developed over the weekend? Our insecurities? Sarah? Coral? Michael? He's completely disregarded me. I've not even spoken to my parents yet. If I'm marrying this challenging ass, then they should know first. My boy is finally settling down. Kathy squeezes his cheeks and lands him with a kiss to match my own. She is behaving like a proud mother. It makes me wonder about the history of Kathy and Jesse's relationship. It seems to be more than an employee-employer concern. She releases Jesse from her slightly wrinkled hands and pulls her apron up to wipe her eyes on a sniffle. Kathy, stop that, Jesse admonishes her. I'm sorry, she composes herself, and returns to preparing breakfast with a wide smile on her face. So where and when? I cringe and reach over for the coffee pot. This is where the fireworks might start flying. Next month at the manor, Jesse informs her confidently. I clank the coffee pot against the side of the mug and then swing my eyes onto Jesse. Really? Really, he counters coolly. It hasn't taken long for the challenging arse who drives me insane to return.
How lovely, Kathy chirps. My eyes fly from Jessie to her. Does she know what the manor is? It will be.
Jessie screws the lid of the peanut butter back onto the jar and starts picking at the label, ignoring my stunned expression, which is firmly rooted on his profile. I watch as he looks at me out of the corner of his eye and starts chewing his lip as he rolls up a piece of the label and flicks it onto the worktop. I exhale slowly in an attempt to cool my fraying patience and grab the small piece of rubbish from the marble. What happened to discussing our wedding together? Lowering myself from the stool, I head for the bin, just for something to do other than kick him in the shins. I pause behind him and push my mouth to his ear.
Who are you marrying?
I ask quietly, before I carry on my way to the bin. He growls, I'll trample Ava.
Pardon?
Kathy turns from the hob. Nothing, we say in unison, before our scowls collide in the space between us. The hostility emanating from his body is palpable. This weekend has just proved that we need to be focusing our attentions on other more important issues, like filling each other with the reassurance that we both obviously need. I stamp on the bin pedal and throw my minuscule piece of rubbish in, but something glimmers at me from the dark depths, catching my eye. I reach in on a frown and pull out one half of a silver and white card. It's a wedding invitation. I turn it around and tilt my head before looking back into the bin. I retrieve the other half and hold them together. Mr. and Mrs. Henry Ward request the pleasure of your company at the wedding of their daughter, Miss Amelie Ward, to Dr. David Garcia. Oh, God! The invitation is swiped from my grasp and stuffed back in the bin, and I'm yanked back over to the kitchen island in a complete daze. Sit, he demands in that tone, the one that I know not to ignore. I'm lifted onto a stool with care, and I look up to find a ticking jaw and bulging neck muscles. Your sister? I ask quietly. Leave it, he warns without looking at me. My mind starts racing. We haven't spoken about his parents much, but what I do know is that he hasn't seen them for years. Is that their choice or Jessie's? If they are sending him an invitation to his sister's wedding, then I'm guessing it must be Jessie's. I study his profile, but dare not say a word. Here you are. Kathy presents me and Jessie with our breakfast, and then stuffs a duster in the front of her apron. I'll leave you to eat in peace. Thank you, Kathy, Jessie says with zero gratitude. I can't even speak. I start picking at the edges of my salmon bagel in awkward silence, and after an eternity of quiet, I finally relent and lower myself from the stool. Where are you going? He asks shortly. Upstairs. I make my way from the kitchen, leaving my breakfast untouched. Jessie and the constant challenges surrounding him are doing my appetite no favors. Ava, don't walk away from me, he threatens. I ignore him. Ava. I swing around. You are more than crazy mad if you think I'm marrying you, Jessie, I say calmly, before leaving a face full of hurt in the kitchen. I half expect to get tackled to the ground, but much to my complete surprise and worry, I'm allowed to leave the kitchen, taking myself up to the master suite without so much as a countdown or a Jessie-style sense fuck. I'm delicate at the moment, so no manhandling is possible. I see Kathy in my favorite spare room, dusting to her heart's content, while singing Valerie. She brings a small smile to my face. Shutting the bedroom door softly behind me, I go and brush my teeth. I'll go to work. I'm not hanging around the tower all day like a spare part, and my back feels all right. if I don't make too many sudden movements. I would rather face my boss and his certain questioning about my and Jessie's relationship. I flick through the rails and rails of new dresses and settle on one of my old ones. I get changed and slip on my heels before presenting myself to the mirror to put on some makeup. The bedroom door opens.
"Where are you going?"
he asks, with a hint of apprehension in his voice. "I'm going to work."
"No, you're not."
"Yes, I am."
I carry on with my makeup, ignoring his imposing body behind me.
The no touching will be killing him, especially now when he wants to restrain me.
"How's your back?"
I flick my eyes to his.
"Sore," I reply, loading my voice with warning.
I take my attention back to the mirror and weep on the inside for the man standing behind me, who really doesn't know what to do with himself. His way of dealing with my defiance is off limits. He's truly stumped. I finish up with my makeup and start putting my bag together. "Where's my phone?" I ask as he lingers behind me.
"It's charging in my office."
I'm surprised he volunteered that information. "Thank you." I pick up my bag and walk to the door, but jump back when Jessie lands in front of me, blocking my path.
"Let's talk."
He spits the words out like they are garbage in his mouth.
"Please don't go. I'll talk."
"You want to talk?"
He shrugs sheepishly. "Well, I can't fuck any sense into you, so I guess I'll have to talk some into you."
That is the conventional way of dealing with things, Jessie.
"Yes, but my way is much more fun."
He gives me that roguish grin, and I fight to keep the smile from twitching the corners of my lips. I need to keep this serious. He takes my hand and moves into me.
"I've never had to explain my life to anyone, Ava. It's not something I relish the thought of talking about."
"I'm not marrying someone who refuses to open up. You keep holding information back, and then we end up in a huge mess."
"I know," he sighs. "Ava, you know more about me than any other living soul. I've never been close to anyone, not like you. You don't tend to get caught up in conversation and life stories when you're just fucking someone."
I wince at the reminder of his dabbling days, which have only recently ended.
"Don't say things like that."
He tugs me toward the bed.
"Sit,"
he orders, pulling me down. He takes a steadying breath.
"The last time I saw my parents, it didn't go particularly well. My sister was a bit underhanded and set us up to meet. My father had a rant. My mother got upset, and I got very drunk. So you can imagine how it ended."
"So your sister obviously wants you to make amends." My voice is small but hopeful.
"Amelie is a bit stubborn."
He sighs, and I laugh on the inside. Like brother, like sister.
"She won't accept that too much has happened. Too many harsh words exchanged over the years."
He looks up at me, and I see anguish in his eyes.
"It's not fixable, Ava."
"But they're your parents.
I can't imagine my life without my mum and dad.
You're their son." He offers me a half-smile, a smile that suggests I just don't get it, which is fine because I absolutely don't.
He sighs. "That invitation only arrived because my sister sent it behind my parents' backs. They don't want me there. Their address was scrubbed off and replaced with Amelie's."
"But Amelie obviously wants you there. Don't you want to see her get married?"
"I would love to see my little sister get married. But I also don't want her wedding ruined. If I go, it will end only one way. Trust me."
"What happened to make it like this?" His shoulders drop spectacularly, and he starts circling his thumbs over my hands. I can see this is painful for him, which makes it all the more frustrating to me, because it shows that he does care.
You already know that my Uncle Carmichael left me the manor when he died. Things were already strained after my parents moved to Spain, and I chose to stay with Carmichael. I was 18 and living at the manor. I understand that it was any parent's worst nightmare.
He laughs lightly.
I slipped into a playboy lifestyle and fell harder when Carmichael died. If it wasn't for John, there probably wouldn't be a manor. He practically ran it, while I gorged on too much drink and too many women.
Oh, I whisper.
He gorged? I prefer dabbled. I calmed it down, but my parents offered me an ultimatum. The manor or them. I chose the manor. Carmichael was my hero. I couldn't sell up.
He finishes his little speech with utter finality. Your parents knew you were carrying on.
I clear my dry throat.
Well, like you were.
I can't say it. It makes me feel sick. Yes, and they predicted it. So you see they were right, and they've never let me forget it. I've lived a pretty sordid lifestyle, I admit that. Carmichael was the family black sheep. No one spoke to him, and the family disowned him. They were embarrassed of him. And then he died, and I filled his shoes. My parents are ashamed of me. That's it.
I recoil at the last part. They shouldn't be ashamed of you.
It's just the way it is.
So you've known John a long time. If he helped run the manor in the early days, we're talking 16-ish years.
Yes, a long time. He smiles fondly. He was great friends with Carmichael.
How old is he?
He looks up and frowns. 50-ish, I think.
Well, how old was Carmichael?
When he died, 31.
That's young, I blurt. I imagined him to be a long, silver-haired, tanned, smarmy type. He laughs at my stunned face.
There were 10 years between my father and Carmichael. He was an afterthought on my grandparents' part.
Oh, I do a quick mental calculation. So there were only 10 years between you and Carmichael, too.
He was more like a brother.
How did he die? I'm probably pushing my luck now, but I'm intrigued. I'm beginning to build a picture of Jesse's history, and now I'm like a dog with a bone. Sadness washes over Jesse's face.
In a car accident.
Oh, I whisper. But then realization dawns, and my eyes drift down his stomach, lingering in the area where I know his scar to be. Jesse was in the car with Carmichael. All of those times I've probed him and badgered him about it, he said it was too painful to talk about, and it really is.
Don't go to work.
He pulls me over onto his lap with care and nuzzles my nose with his.
Stay at home and let me love you. I want to take you out for dinner this evening. I owe you some special time.
I melt all over him. My newfound knowledge, coupled with his reasonableness, refuses to let me say no.
I go back to work tomorrow, I say assertively.
I need to resolve some work-related issues, namely Michael.
Fine.
He rolls his eyes.
Right. I'm going for a run, to alleviate some of the pressure that my challenging temptress presents me with. And then we snuggle all afternoon and go out for dinner. Deal?
Deal. But I challenge the middle part of that statement and trumpet with a deluded god. He gives me his smile, reserved only for me, and falls back onto the bed cautiously.
"Kiss me now," he demands,
and I dive straight in with an appreciation kiss.
He's opened up, and I feel so much better.
Basking on Central Jesse Cloud 9 has resumed.
Chapter 33. Good morning, baby.
I open my eyes wide in alarm.
Morning? It's not, is it?
No. It's 5 o'clock. You've been asleep all afternoon. How does your back feel?
He crawls up the bed, completely naked, until he's lying flush with me,
and I marvel at the beads of water glimmering on his firm shoulders and chest.
He's shaved. He smells divine.
I wriggle a little.
It feels okay.
I turn into his chest to get a hit of his yummy scent.
Just think, if you gave up work, you could do this every day. How perfect would that be?
For you, I grumble. Perfect for you because you'll know where I am all the time. I push my lips into his chest, contemplating that he might just get his way. I know Patrick well, but not well enough to be confident that he would send Michael packing when I tell him what's going on.
Exactly. He threads his fingers through my hair. You could come to work with me, and we would never have to be apart.
You would get sick of me.
Not possible. Are you going to let me take you out for dinner?
Or we could just stay right here.
I slide my hand over his stomach and brush over his scar. Nothing would please me more, but I would like to take you out. Do you mind?
He asks, rather reasonably. That's not like him at all. And him turning down the opportunity to keep me in bed? I'm suspicious.
But then again, he whispers, I've not been inside you for way too long. That is not acceptable.
He eases me over onto my back gently.
Baby, sleepy sex is off the menu for a while, so I'm just going to fuck you. Any objections?
He rests his body half on mine, his eyes instantly smoking out. That, mixed with his lurid words, has me whipped into a lustful frenzy.
You're asking if you can fuck me. I'm full of suspicion.
His eyes dance with mischief as he kisses the corner of my mouth and then the other corner.
Watch your mouth. I'm trying to be reasonable.
He circles his groin and hits me in just the right spot.
Don't be, I blurt.
He pulls back, his perfect frown line perfectly in place. He ponders my demand for a few seconds.
You don't want me to be reasonable?
No. I'm getting a little breathy. He knows exactly what he's doing.
So let me clarify. I'm a little confused.
He rolls his hips into me, unearthing a persistent thump in my groin.
You really don't want me to be reasonable?
Thrust.
No. I see.
He slips his finger into the edge of my knickers and skims my tight bud of nerves lightly, sending me through the roof.
Carte blanche?
Yes.
Well, now you're just giving me mixed signals,
he says, all controlled as he slips his thumb across my flesh.
I love how wet you are for me.
My spine bows, all of the discomfort of my back replaced with sexual anticipation. I'm bubbling. He inserts one long finger and pushes up on the front wall of my entrance.
Soft, hot, and made just for me.
He yanks the cup of my bra down with his spare hand and flicks my already stiff nipple into a bullet.
My mark's fading, he muses, a
as he latches onto my breast, biting and sucking. We don't want you forgetting who you belong to, do we? I moan as he replaces one finger with two. Do we, Ava?
No, I breathe.
He clamps down on my nipple and scrapes his teeth over the end, sending shots of pleasure straight down to my core.
I love how receptive you are to my touch. It gives me the power.
Two fingers turn into three, and with his back in such a mess, I resort to grasping the sheets.
Does that feel good?
He works his fingers in and out of me, circling and thrusting as he watches me undulate under him.
So good.
My voice is quivering, just like my body. I really need this.
Open your eyes, Ava. Let me see them when you come for me.
I peel my eyes open and locate his gaze as he continues to work me up into a despairing mess.
Kiss me,
I order, my hips meeting his hand thrusts. I'm going to fall apart, and I need his mouth on me.
Who has the power, Ava?
He asks, under half-hooded eyes.
Tell me who has the power.
You do.
Good girl.
He lifts up and smashes his lips to mine, circling his thumb on my tight knot of nerves, prompting my hands to fly to his hair and grab on for dear life as he kisses me hard, working me to climax. His tongue rolls around my mouth, firm but slow, harsh but worshipfully. He's reminding me. His firm chest pressed into my side, his wonderful mouth all over mine, and his long, talented fingers working me as my body solidifying, my mind going blank, and my soul reinstated. I'm complete again. A long, rippling wave whips through me, and I gasp into his mouth, my body shaking uncontrollably as I hit my climax.
Only for me, he growls the words I know he absolutely means. His carnal possession of my body making me weak with lust. Only ever for me, do you understand?
Yes, I sigh, and go lax beneath him, the roaring blood starting to clear from my ears.
Up you get.
He links my arms around my neck.
Get those fabulous legs around my waist.
I conform and wrap myself around him, letting him lift me from the bed. He strides toward the bedroom door.
Where are we going?
I ask, hope blossoming at the potential of a Jesse-style row.
My office.
Wait, I shout abruptly. He halts instantly.
What's the matter?
Take me to the wardrobe.
Why?
Because we need a condom.
What?
We need a condom, I repeat, even though I know damn well he heard me right.
I don't have any.
You do, in the wardrobe. I should be flying off the handle at him. His tense body suggests he is fully expecting it. He knows that I know.
Ava, I don't do condoms with you.
Then we don't have sex. I shrug against him.
He's so digging himself a hole. Excuse me?
He pulls back and hits me with a disgusted look. I'm fighting to maintain a straight face when I should be furious at the potential of him hiding my pills.
You heard?
His disgusted look transforms into a mighty scowl.
For fuck's sake!
He makes for the wardrobe with me in his tight clinch, releasing one arm and locating the condoms he claimed he didn't have, while grumbling the whole time. You know, my mark is fading too, I say, looking down at his peck, as he takes us from the bedroom. His scowl disappears and he smirks at me.
It is.
It needs freshening up. I raise my eyebrows and watch in lustful delight as his eyes darken further.
My girl is possessive. Knock yourself out, baby.
I grin and sink my teeth into his peck, and a small moan escapes his lips as I'm carted downstairs and straight into his office.
I want to take you right here, so whenever I have to work, I will see you spread naked on my desk.
He lowers me onto his big wooden desk and chucks the box of condoms down before sinking himself into his leather office chair. He's completely naked and hard as steel, and my eyes are thrilled as I drag my stare down the full length of him. His fingers hook into the top of my knickers, and I brace myself on the edge of the desk to lift my bum so he can draw them down my legs. He opens the top drawer of his desk and drops them in before shutting it again and returning his eyes to mine.
You've just come all over them.
He rests his palms on my thighs.
I want to be able to smell you too. Spread your legs.
Oh, good Lord. I pull my thighs apart as far as I can, completely exposing myself to him. It's nothing he hasn't seen a million times before, but like this, I feel completely laid bare. The chair rolls forward, and he reaches behind me, gently unclasping my bra strap and pulling it down my arms. My breathing has quickened. I am ready to go again, but I can tell from his mood and approach that this will be on his terms. He has the power, and seated in that chair, entirely naked, his abdominals tight, his mammoth erection resting on his lower stomach, he looks mighty powerful too.
Lean back on your hands.
He puts my matching bra in the drawer with my knickers and sits back in his chair. I lean back, pushing my chest forward. I'm nervous, and I don't know why. He has taken me in all ways, shapes and forms, in every Jesse temperament I know. But today, I'm a little uneasy. He runs his eyes from mine slowly and leisurely down my body until he comes to rest on my sex. His eyes stay there, and he sinks farther into his chair, the reclining mechanism giving under his weight. He's making himself really comfortable. Me? Not so much. I'm sitting here, as naked as he is, and my heart is hammering out of my chest as I watch him stare at my cleft, utterly rapt.
Why are you so nervous?
He asks without lifting his eyes, his deep, rolling voice doing nothing to settle me. I'm not. It's a feeble reply. I feel wide open and scrutinized, which is ridiculous. There's not a part of me that hasn't had him on it, in it, or over it. He lifts his eyes to mine, and the hardness softens immediately.
I love you.
My entire being relaxes with those three words.
I love you too. Don't ever doubt it.
I won't. Have you finished with your observations? I raise a sardonic eyebrow.
No.
He reaches forward and re-spreads my thighs. I hadn't realized I had partly closed them.
I'm evaluating my assets.
He sits back and resumes his viewing of my most private place.
I'm an asset?
No,
you're my asset.
He keeps his eyes right where they are, and I decide that I may as well drink in my own asset. His flawlessness still makes me salivate.
Would you like to hear my verdict?
He asks. I would. Up come his eyes, and the corner of his mouth lifts.
I'm a very rich man.
He rolls his chair forward and picks up my legs by my ankles, resting the soles of my feet on his shoulders. If I was laid bare before, then I have no idea what I would be now.
Don't hold back on me, he chides me on a slight frown. He rests his palms over the tops of my feet and turns his lips onto my ankle bone, the hot connection catapulting a pulse up my leg to settle deep in my core. A small groan seeps from my mouth. Push your hair over your shoulders, he commands quietly. I prop myself on one hand and gather my hair from my front, releasing it down my back. Better. Now I can see all of my assets. He nips at my ankle. I spasm. Seeing you turned on, and knowing it's me who makes you like this, is the most gratifying feeling. He reaches his hand out and runs his middle finger up my center, finishing with a light pressure at the top of my clit. My lips part, and tiny shallow breaths slip from my mouth repeatedly. I shift with the overwhelming need to clamp my legs shut. Keep them open, Ava. I want to see your flesh pulsating under my touch when you come for me. His throaty tone spikes my want of explosion under his intense touch and equally intense eyes. He trades one finger for two and scissors my clit slowly. My head drops back. I moan. I know I'm committing a massive transgression. Eyes, baby. Keep your eyes on me. I'm close, I whimper. I know, but I'll stop unless you get your eyes back on me. Listen to me, Ava. Show me those beautiful eyes. I pull my heavy head back up with a massive effort as I tremble under his touch. Our eyes lock, and he increases his strokes, his lust-filled eyes and parted lips relaxing my body and escalating my pleasure. The only movements coming from him are his fingers at my core, gliding up and down, his pulsing cock, and the sharp rise of his chest. And then he turns his lips onto my ankle and grazes his teeth across the surface. I'm a goner. I bite back a scream and push into Jesse's shoulders with my feet as I'm assaulted from every angle by a surge of pressure that explodes and turns my body into a non-responsive mass of twitching nerves. There it is. He breathes, kissing my foot and sliding his finger up my cleft. Ava, you're throbbing. It's fucking perfect. My breasts are rising and falling, my skin clammy, and my muscles are contracting harshly. He's watching me ride out my climax, sitting back with his stare firmly in place at my entrance. The appreciation in his eyes is something else. Come here. He puts his hands out, and I take them, releasing my feet from his shoulders, my legs folding under me, so I straddle his lap and hold on to the back of the chair. Lift, he speaks quietly. Condom, I'm panting. Ava, don't ask me to wear a condom. He's almost begging. Jesse, do you realize how lucky we are that I'm not already pregnant? Introducing a child into our relationship? That would qualify as beyond stupid. He shakes his head and pulls me down, positioning himself, but I tense up, trying my hardest to prevent him from entering me. He looks up at me, and his eyes tell me everything I need to know. I push his hand away from under me and settle back down, minus one Jesse buried inside me. I keep my eyes on his, but they drop a little. He knows I've got him. I turn and pick one of the foil packets from the box, and then slide down until I'm kneeling on the floor between his thighs. He watches me rip the packet open and slide out the condom before I reach forward and gently grasp his cock, slip it over his head, and negotiate it down the full length of his shaft. We're both silent as I crawl back up his body and position myself back on his lap.
I raise myself, pushing forward so my breasts are within licking distance of his mouth. He takes full advantage, flashing a knowing smile and swirling his hot tongue around each nipple before clamping his teeth on the ends in turn. I've had two roaring orgasms, and with his teeth latched onto my nipple, there will be a third on the way soon. How does he do this to me? I feel his hand under my backside, and he positions himself under me, the strange sensation of latex skimming my thigh. Lower gently. His short, sharp instruction is delivered in a voice that, no mistaking, holds all of the power. I do as I'm told, sinking slowly down onto him, and his steel rod of flesh finds my passage and slips past as he draws in a long, controlled breath. His head sinks back into the chair, and mine drops onto his forehead, my eyes closed. I'm completely impaled by him. It doesn't feel the same, but it's still him inside me. Hold still. His minty breath heats my face as he wraps his big palms around my waist. I wait. I can feel him pulsing inside me, and it takes every bit of strength I have not to contract around him. He needs a moment. You feel so perfect around me. How long do you think you could stand this without responding? He pecks my lips and trails his tongue across my bottom lip. I wouldn't be able to hold back for long at all. I push my mouth to his, but he tuts and turns his face from me. Not long, then. I pull back, and he returns his face forward. You're denying me, I say softly. It's a challenge. You're a challenge, I breathe, and drop my face back down to try and claim him, but he turns his face again. I try to instigate some movement by rolling my hips, but he clamps his hands around my waist. It doesn't take much of his strength to hold me still. You need me. His voice is raspy, sexy as hell, and doing me no favors as I work hard to control my breathing, his cock still jerking wildly inside me. I need you. I know that these words mean more to him than I love you. His satisfied expression only confirms it. I lean forward to capture his lips, but he turns his face again. How would you feel if anyone stopped you from kissing me? I ask. Deadly, he states on a growl, returning his eyes to mine. He loosens his grip on my waist, and I take advantage of his lack of hold, bearing down on a moan. His eyes clench and reopen. Me too, I say firmly, following it up with a grind against his hips. His cheeks puff out, and his hands shift to my hip bones, halting me in my tempting tactics. Who has the power, Ava? You. His eyes twinkle. Do you want me to fuck you? Yes. Right answer. He lifts my hips and rams upward, yanking me down on a guttural bark. I scream and grab the back of the chair. Like that? He asks as he withdraws and rams straight into me again. Oh, God, yes! My head rolls, my eyes close. Eyes! He barks on another crash of our hips. Feel it, Ava. Do you feel it? I drag my eyes open, my vision blurred. The pure, carnal, possessive expression on his handsome face makes me feel like the most desired creature alive. I feel it. He groans and smashes upward over and over, lifting and yanking me back down to meet every punishing advance of his hips. A sheen of sweat materializes on his brow. His jaw is clenched, and the vein in his neck is bulging. I grip tighter on the back of the chair, turning my knuckles white. I want to kiss him,
But for one, he hasn't said I can. And two, our mouths will never stay joined. My core is twitching, the overused, overworked bud of nerves screaming for a break from such intensity. But I need one more, just one more. I'm close. My desperate words are disconnected and hardly decipherable. Jesse, I'm close. Wait, he grates, and smashes upward again. The grip he has on my hips is nearly painful. You'll wait. I can't, I cry, and he stops instantly, the lack of friction and rhythm chasing my orgasm away. You'll wait, he pants. He's twitching like mad within me, his breathing heavy and labored. Control it, Ava. I can't control anything with you. I rest my head on his shoulder as the fire in my groin cools slightly. I know. He turns his face into my hair and kisses me. I own you, so I'll control it. He circles his hips gently, stirring my abandoned orgasm. I can't argue with that claim. He totally owns me, and I'm under no illusion that he's talking only of my impending climax. I love you, I murmur against his damp shoulder. He sighs. I love you too, baby. Shall we come together? Please. Put those lips on me. I slide my lips across his neck, to his jaw, straight onto his mouth, and he starts a lazy, languid rocking of my hips back and forth as I drown in his mouth's attention to mine. Gentle Jesse, it's like I'm in a relationship with a dozen different men. You're delicious, he says. I can feel you tightening around me. It feels so good. He guides my hips, grinding us together. You feel good. I clench my thighs and move my hands to his hair to pull him closer. Come for me. He delivers a few measured rotations, followed by a flick of his hips, and I roll gently over the edge on a long, satisfying groan into his mouth. My third release of the session, not as body-splitting, but no less earth-moving or fulfilling. Oh, Jesus! His body goes rigid. I can't feel the sensations of his hot cum flooding me, but all the other signs of his climax are there. He holds me still in his arms. You are amazing. I grab onto his jerking cock greedily and draw him into me. It's pleasure embodied. He is pleasure embodied. That was so good, I say, smothering his lips with mine. He lets me have my way, holding me as close as he can get me, and circling, teasing, feathery strokes on my hip bones. It wasn't so bad, was it?
No, it wasn't. But it's still something between us.
You want to trample a condom? I grin against his lips.
I do.
He pulls back and smiles.
You need to get ready, or we'll be late.
I resume smothering his face. Where are we going? I could quite happily stay right where I am. I'm comfy.
For dinner. I made a reservation.
He laughs lightly and cups my cheeks in his hands, pulling my face away.
Shower.
Let me love you. I dip down and work my way to his ear, biting down gently.
Ava, he warns, pulling me from my nuzzling.
His eyes flicker with mischief as he reaches forward and traces the edges of his mark on my boob.
You'll always have this.
He looks up at me.
Always.
I reach forward and draw my own little circle around my mark on his peck. You should have your name tattooed on my forehead, I grin. And then there will be no mistaking who I belong to.
He raises his eyebrows and pouts slightly. Not a bad idea.
He stands with me in his arms, and I resume my customary baby chimp style hold.
He takes us back upstairs, maintaining our connection until he reaches the bed, slips out of me, and lowers me gently to the sheets. He shakes his head on a disgusted snort and pulls the condom off, knotting it and chucking it into the bin. "On your front. I need to cream you." He encourages me over and smooths his palms over my bum cheeks. "I need a shower," I sigh. "I'll do it again after." "You need cream." "I'm fine. It's all about you." He settles himself on my bottom and squirts some cream on my back, making my shoulder blades fly up in shock. "Where was the warning?" I gasp. "Sorry," he laughs. "This might be cold." I crane my neck around to look up at him, and he dazzles me with his smile, which I know is reserved only for me. "You're so handsome," I mumble dreamily, settling my cheek back on the pillow. "I think I'll keep you forever." "Okay," he agrees, laughing again. "Where are you hiding my pills?" I throw the question into the mix casually, and the sudden stilling of his hands tells me I'm so right. He's hiding them, I know he is.
"What are you talking about?"
"I'm talking about the fact that my contraceptive pills have been growing legs and running away, and it's only been happening since I met you."
"Why would I do that?"
His hands are moving in slow, cautious circles over my back. "I'm not going anywhere if that's what you're worried about."
"No, you're not."
"It's fine. I'll go to the doctor's to replace them," I say casually, "and I'll be hiding them. I have no idea what I'm going to do if I am pregnant. Die on the spot, I think." "You'll just have to wear a condom until I can restart my course," I add.
"I don't like wearing condoms with you," he strains the words out.
"We won't be having any sex then," I conclude smugly.
"Watch your mouth."
I laugh to myself, I don't know why. I should be raging, panicking, worrying. I can't even begin to imagine how he would be with me if I was carrying his child. Holy shit, it would be unbearable. I'd be wrapped in cotton wool, locked in a padded cell, and guarded for 9 months. And how would he be with his children if he's like this with me? Waiting for this period is going to be the longest time of my life.
"You okay?" he asks.
"Fine," I answer quickly. "How long has Kathy worked for you?" I ask, diverting the question.
"Nearly 10 years.
"She's fond of you."
"She is," he says quietly.
And I know he feels the same way about Kathy. "Does she know about the manor?"
"Ouch!" "Baby, I'm sorry."
His lips fall straight to my back, kissing me better.
"I'm sorry, I'm sorry."
"I'm fine. Unravel your boxers." I feel him lift, and then the swift connection of his palm on my bum. "Ouch!"
"Sarcasm doesn't suit you, lady."
"Well?" I ask.
"Well, what?"
"Kathy.
Does she know?" "Yes, she knows. It's not some secret society, Ava. There are no cloaks and daggers."
He lifts from me.
"You're done. Up you get."
"You kept it a secret from me," I mutter indignantly, sitting myself on the edge of the bed.
"That's because I was falling hard and fast in love with you, and it scared me to death to think you would run away from me if you found out."
One brow arches accusingly, and I know what's coming next.
"And you did."
It was a bit of a shock. The events following my discovery still make me shudder, and I want to point out that I came back to him after the whole manor bombshell. It was the drinking that really made me run. "I knew you were experienced, but I didn't anticipate it was because you owned a sex club."
"Hey."
He closes in on me and lowers me to the bed, dropping a kiss on my lips. Let's not revisit old news. It's all about us, and now, and tomorrow, and the next day, and then the rest of our lives.
Okay. Kiss me. I grin.
I'm sorry. Who has the power? His lips are twitching as his eyes flick from mine to my lips.
You do.
Good girl. He drowns me in his mouth, giving me exactly what I want. But all too soon he pulls away, and I express my annoyance with an over-the-top huff. I'm ignoring you. Wear your new cream dress. He gets up and leaves me to shower and prepare for dinner. I walk into the kitchen feeling very special in my new cream dress, narrow gold belt, and new cream heels. My hair is swishing across my back, and my makeup is light. I skid to a halt on my heels as I get my first eyeful of Jesse. He's on his phone, listening intently, and he looks mouth-watering in his navy suit and pale pink shirt. My roving eyes work their way from his tan grensons, up his long lean legs, past his firm, perfectly toned chest, and to his clean-shaven, devastating face. He's scowling. I frown at him, and his eyes soften as he perches on a stool and pats his thigh. I wander over and rest myself on his lap while I search through my bag to find my gloss. His face goes straight into my hair on an inhale, and his arm snakes around my waist, pulling me closer.
So what can you tell me other than that?
He's speaking with little civility. I turn and give him a questioning look as I sweep my gloss wand across my lips. He ignores my obvious curiosity and kisses me lightly on the cheek.
It's fucking convenient that the other camera is broken, he says shortly. Have you checked the footage from outside the bar?
Oh, no. He seems to take a relaxing breath. I squeeze his thigh and he looks at me, then kisses my forehead.
Fine. Let me know what you find.
He chucks his phone on the worktop, and it slides a good few feet.
It's a fucking joke.
You think it was Michael in the footage, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Do you think he drugged me?
I don't know, Ava.
He sounds completely deflated.
It's a bit far-fetched, isn't it?
He hates me, Ava. He knows you're my Achilles heel. He's been waiting for this.
I stand, turning to face him.
Should we go to the police?
I ask. Jesse's concern is really concerning me now.
No, he shakes his head. I'm dealing with it.
Okay, I say quietly. I'm not arguing with him on this. He smiles mildly, then narrows his eyes on me playfully.
I like your dress.
His hand slides up the inside of my thigh and sweeps through the seam of my knickers.
I like my dress too.
Damn, I'm panting again. My bag tumbles to the kitchen floor and I grab the front of his suit jacket. He slips his finger out and brings it up to my mouth, wiping the wetness straight across my freshly glossed lips.
I'm a very lucky man.
He pulls me onto his lap and tilts me back, pushing his lips against mine on a long, lingering, sensual kiss. When he's taken what he wants, he pulls back and flashes me his smile, reserved only for me. I return it, running my thumb across his full bottom lip.
That color doesn't suit you.
No, he pouts, and I laugh. He stands me up before grabbing the remote control for the sound system.
I want to dance with you.
You do?
I do.
I smile when Foster the People's Pumped Up Kicks fires from the speakers very loudly.
Oh, he really wants to dance.
I'm yanked into his chest, his palm rests on my lower back, and his spare hand grasps mine. I place my other hand on his shoulder and look up at him on a smile.
You make me so happy.
His eyes twinkle, his luscious lips tipping at the corner. I'm going to make you happy for the rest of my life, baby. Let's dance.
He starts stepping backward out of the kitchen, and as soon as we're in the vast open space of the penthouse, I'm immediately twirled out and brought back in again before he starts guiding me around the room. I laugh and look up into his shining pools of green pleasure as I'm weaved between the furniture and twirled around while he smiles down at me. I'm guided from one end of the penthouse to the other, out onto the terrace, around the decking, before being taken back inside.
What are we doing?
I ask as we circle the sofa again.
I don't know. Something between a waltz and a quick step, I think.
He grins at me as I continue to follow his lead. His eyes look like they could explode with happiness.
I think I enjoy this just as much as being buried inside you.
Really? I ask, completely shocked.
No, he frowns. That's probably the stupidest thing I've ever said.
My head falls back on a laugh, and he leans down, resting his lips on my throat as he directs me back into the kitchen. He lifts me up to his body, and my legs curl around his tight hips, my hands finding his hair. I hold his gaze, and he stops his movements, studying me closely before placing me gently on the counter. His palms cup my cheeks, his stare seeping into my eyes.
He really doesn't need to say anything, but I know he will. It's like he wants to demonstrate how good he is at his newfound talent. He talks to me now.
His thumbs smooth over my skin.
Who has the power, Ava?
I roll my eyes.
You do. You're wrong.